This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, yeah. There you go, Ben. What's happening, everybody?
Hey, Ben.
Happy Friday to all of you. Happy Football Friday. Yes, happy Football Friday to you, Ben. Happy Football Friday to you, Seth C. Payne.
Oh, I feel like Tank Dell. Not after he got shot, but after he got his ribs injured.
I just realized that now.
That I'm trying to speak with projection. I had a little bit of a fall last night because apparently I'm an elderly old man now. And I hit my ribs. And my God.
That's rib injuries, bruised ribs, underrated.
Yeah. And I don't even know if they're bruised. I haven't lifted my shirt yet.
To see what it looks like?
Yeah.
To look at the damage?
I don't want to look. I just want to make it through the show and then we'll deal with it
later.
Okay. And for religious reasons,
yeah.
Modesty.
I hear you.
Yeah,
I hear you.
I can't be looking at my sculpted frame in the mirror lest I tempt myself. Yes,
you're down to what now? Weight wise,
I'm down to elderly old man. I fall in the middle of the night.
Yeah, that's
age.
True.
That's where
true.
I am.
Well, you texted me this morning about this, and you said the magic words that I wish I could say sometimes. I forgot to eat yesterday.
Yeah, I had the old. 1-2 combo that I've done before and didn't learn my lesson from. Sometimes I forget to eat, and then I do like an hour of cardio, and then I'm like, I'm still not hungry. I'll just go to bed, and then I wake up dizzy and fall down.
So you hit the floor, huh?
I hit the floor hard. Man. I passed out.
Okay,
and I think I at least a couple times.
Okay,
and it was weird. And Brandy's not here, so I did in that middle of the night have kind of that moment of like, well. This is how it all ends.
Yeah.
I'm certainly not calling an ambulance.
All right.
So I, because I've been through this before, I know what it is. So I got some fluids and some calories in me, but I ended up passing out three times. And
three times?
Yeah, and I think I hit my
you
head
tell
at least
me three
twice.
Times?
I'm pretty sure it was three. But I was also, I had just finished watching the Menendez brothers, so I was kind of...
Well, that'll help.
I didn't know for sure whether, I in my mind I had it that somebody was sneaking in and cold cocking me. That somebody.
This sounds like a nightmare.
Somebody was plotting to get me, and I because I didn't quite grasp that I had passed out. I thought that like, oh, this is odd, but I'm so tired. I'm gonna go back to sleep.
This is.
I
new,
just hope it's not somebody that's snuck in.
This is new territory for doing the show.
I might
concussed.
We might need to have Spillane just come in just to be at the ready in case.
On the warming up in the bully.
Out. Yeah,
warming up in the bullpen.
I feel all right. Do I make sense?
So far, so good, man.
Other than my
2 minutes and 50 seconds
memory of how many times
you're fine.
Out.
You're
but
good.
But I think I hit something. My side hurts so much.
Yeah,
I'm in so much pain. But I think it's just a bruise. We'll be good. Let's go. Game week.
You don't carry any painkillers or anything around.
Hell no.
You, do you?
Yeah. No. Because I've taken them all. But no. Why, you got any?
Somas. Anyway, Somas.
No, I look, unlike Joe Mixon, I'm going to show up and work.
Attaboy.
Unless Joe Mixon practices today.
Yeah. Joe, well, that's a big one. That's a big storyline today. I was looking at the, and welcome in everybody on a Football Friday. It's a big
Football
Friday, man. This is a bienvenue à toi. This is a big weekend. This is a big game. I was doing the thing that I do every Thursday where I'm like, all right, let's stack the NFL schedule this week like I would a wrestling card. Here's the undercard. And we'll do that later in the show. And as I'm going through it, I'm like, the best game on the schedule, like if I was a big fan of football, but I didn't have a dog in the fight, and I was coming in this weekend, I said, I got to watch one game. It would be Buffalo at Houston. It would be the Bills and the Texans. It feels
like a primetime game.
Yeah. In terms of the quality of the teams, the aspiration of the two teams. Obviously, there's plenty of teams think they can win a Super Bowl. If I had to guess, this is a battle of the two teams that are highest up on the odds board playing each other this week. And the Bills are like 2 or 3. The Texans are 5 or 6. And yet this thing is buried amongst like 8 other games at noon.
Well, except that it is on the coverage map, almost the entire nation.
The whole nation.
Other than the Mid-Atlantic and that Skol area, the Vikings area. Who somehow hate us for some reason. I don't know.
I'm probably half responsible for that.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Like 50, I forgot that you invited 50% all that
responsible.
Hate.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it does. It feels like a primetime game in which the majority of the nation, geographically at least, according to the coverage map, is going to be, if they're watching CBS at noon on Sunday, they're going to be watching the Texans play.
Yeah.
And the Texans are a team that understands that they haven't played up to their expectations or the expectations of others. Like, they're not that they care about the expectations of others, but they've got high goals, and they haven't played that way. So, and the Bills are coming off of a clunker against the Ravens. I think it's two teams that can be as scrappy and as hungry as they could be while still 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they're both two teams that feel like they haven't really clicked completely and totally over the first four games the way they'd like to. Although the Bills have had a couple more instances of definitive wins.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The Texans, I think the Texans have yet to have a game where they feel that way. The Bills, the Bills can at least hang their hat on the Miami game where they, you know, they squash Tua.
Yeah.
And then the big one would be that Jacksonville game where they just, they stopped scoring when they decided to stop scoring in that game.
Yeah, they did. What versus bad opponents or opponents that you think are going to be bad,
they
rolled over them.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's the difference with the Texans. Texans have turned games that should have been decisive on paper, and they've made them way, way closer.
Way closer.
And it is. It's
silly mistakes.
So much of it's self-inflicted in terms of not just the penalties, but the special teams errors.
Yes.
Those have been huge. They've just been monstrous special teams errors.
Yep.
And it's things that you don't expect out of, frankly, a D'Amico Ryans coach team.
Or a Frank Ross coach team.
That's what's so troubling about all of it is that I don't expect the D'Amico Ryans team to be executing things poorly, just looking sloppy, all these things, and it's the offensive line more so than anybody else, but their sloppiness abounds.
Let me ask you this question I just saw. This is from 13 hours ago on the text page. I love coming in and seeing the crumbs from the night before on the text page. They're fun sometimes. But I think this is a good question. If we're just talking about perception, if the Texans lose a close barn burner type of game, does that still prove the Texans are a top team in the AFC?
I don't think it proves anything. Honestly, I'm not trying to get out of answering this question. We don't know who anybody is right now. We sure as hell don't know who the Bills are. The Bills looked like gangbusters and then looked like nothings against the Ravens.
Yeah.
And that's just where we are with this particular NFL season. Offensives haven't gotten going. I think the fact that the Texans have won those games, well, let's say even if they were 1-3 right now, it's so obvious to be able to point to two things. One, the self-inflicted wounds, and two, a complete and total inability to dependably run the football when teams are giving you every opportunity to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was the old, I mean, I know people love to act like cover two is a brand new thing this year, but that's usually the teams that can stop the run while playing cover two, those are elite defenses. You only see that out of elite defenses. And now the Texans have turned it to, since week one, pretty much anybody, that's the antidote. Just play cover two, take away the deep ball, and the Texans aren't going to be able to reliably run the ball until maybe the last drive of the game.
Yeah.
So that's what's got to get right. And I know it feels stupid and old school, but that's the way this season is. Mm-hmm. teams are playing old school in a lot of ways, and the pendulum swings back, especially with the Texans. They face more cover two than anybody else in the league, and they got to be able to take advantage of that. They got to be able to take advantage of the short game. They got to be able to run the football. And depending on how they win this game versus the Bills, if it's close but it's not sloppy, and if it's close but they run the ball successfully, they look like a competent offense, then yeah, I'll feel like, okay, this team's headed in the right direction.
Yeah, and you got New England coming up the following week. If you lose this one, that could be a get-well game for you. So yeah, I'm not, this I will promise to the audience, to you, to anybody listening, I will promise this. Unlike the first four games, unlike the first three wins, where it felt like after each of the wins in the post-game show, when you and I would come in on Monday, that it was a big yeah, but.
Yeah.
After all three wins.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, they beat the Colts, but they allowed all these big chunk plays and a block punt to leave them in the game. Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, they beat the Bears, but, man, if Cam Akers just scores that touchdown, then they don't commit 12 penalties. We're laughing in this game. Yeah, they beat the Jags, but they had to do it on a last-minute drive, and they committed 12 penalties again, that kind of thing. This I will promise. I don't care how many penalties they commit. I don't care how many turnovers they have. I don't care if there's a botch on special teams. If they beat the Bills,
yeah,
I will come in tomorrow morning and I will conduct the post-game show, or not tomorrow morning, Monday morning, and Sunday in the postgame. I will be happy regardless. There will be no yeah, but for me.
Yeah, because the Bills are
they're a legit team.
Yeah, they're a legit team. And at this point, I'd say the top half of the league is a Super Bowl contender until things start sorting themselves out.
This season,
out.
You're right about
it. It just feels like that. It's a big old wild card in the middle of anything.
There's no dominant team right now.
The two things that can improve, I think, are the offensive line over the course of the season. It's very, very possible. They've made improvements. I feel better about them in pass protection after last week, as long as they're not facing a blitz. Mm-hmm. And I know there's advanced stats out there that show that the Texans are actually good versus the blitz. Stop it. Just stop it with that stuff. And part of the problem is you're keeping seven guys in to block, so at times you're picking up the blitz, but you're still not able to utilize a quick passing game. They've had to prop up the offense too much when they're facing blitz. Mm-hmm. So they've got to get better at that. But this week, the Bills don't blitz a lot, and I don't think they're going to change their MO any different than they typically do. Their natural defense is what other teams have been tweaking their defenses to play like.
Mm-hmm.
So other teams have said, okay, we got to play more like the Bills, basically. Now the Texans are facing a team that, oh, this is the actual Bills. This is what this is what everybody else is trying to do versus playing a whole boatload of cover two. So I think that last drive versus Jacksonville was interesting, and I think that maybe some things did click for everybody, partly in just that they didn't shoot themselves in the foot. So it's gonna be a good game.
Someone said your body might not be optimized to run on ketones. Okay. Yeah. So missed meals have a major impact on blood sugars.
Now we're good. I'm on top of it. Thanks for the advice, but I'm good.
Okay.
We got it.
Okay.
Thanks.
He said, go slow, man.
Yeah, no, I know. Don't worry about me. I'm very well acquainted with ketones and everything else and managing, yes.
Okay, gotcha.
1%, yes. Yep. Thank you, though. Thank you for the
concern.
Yes, thank you.
That's where it comes from. It comes from concern.
Yes.
Text message, man.
I did an hour of very low-intensity cardio per day for 6 months, teaching my body to selectively or optimize being able to run
good.
Off of fat. Yeah, I've been through multiple bouts and instances of I know where I am right now. Thank you for the that was a good suggestion.
It's very relevant. It comes from a good place.
Don't read me any more of those.
Okay, you got it.
If it involves ketones or anything like that, please.
I shall not read it. The messenger is the one who's getting shot here.
Yes. No, it's not. It's fine. It was good. It's a very good.
How about this text?
Man, I'm point to bring up.
Man, I'm very excited about the game on Sunday.
Yes.
How about that text?
Yes. Thank you.
I'm very excited for this game, too, on Sunday. Game you can hear right here on Sports Radio 610. Texans Countdown, 9 a.m. Sunday out at the stadium. Be there. All right, let's dig into this game. We'll do the six-pack here. The things to watch for in this game, the keys, the big players, the big storylines. We do it right at 6:20 every Friday for the game. The six-pack, we do it coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, let's get you ready for this game on Sunday. Bills Texans noon kick, 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock Texans countdown right outside the stadium. Big stage. You see me and Seth just yammering about football next to two gigantic speakers. That's the pregame show.
That's where we are.
That's the pregame show, yes.
I might be sitting down while Sean stands, but that's where we'll be.
Or you'll have a flak jacket on.
And a helmet. I might be wearing a helmet. Sorry, that was my ribs acting up. So here we go.
Let's hear from C.J. Stroud here real quick.
No. Okay.
Here's C.J. Stroud on the team's approach to prepping for the Bills.
You know the answer to that. It's no. I think every team in the NFL is good, so I don't really look at the Bills like, oh, they're this. No, don't get me wrong. They are a great football team. Like, they have done what they've done for a very good reason. Like, Josh, I can go on and on about the Bills. Trust me, they are amazing. But once again, you know, we're football players too. We're dogs just like they are, you know, so it's going to be a great matchup. I definitely got a lot of respect for them. Great defense. McDermott has a great philosophy on how he calls plays, and you know, they're playing really well together. And then their offense, of course, they're going to score points. Josh Allen is definitely a top premier quarterback in his league, and I'm a big fan of his, watch his game a lot. So, you know, just some kind of respect for them. But, you know, I don't look at it as, like, up or down. You know exactly what I would say. So, yeah. Not trying to sound arrogant, just being real.
CJ, we're going to be doing this for 15 more years.
The question had basically been along the line of, hey, this is the first team you're facing this year where they've got a lot of hype ahead of time. They've been the team that people are thought it was knocking at the door of the next team for the last couple of years, which, I mean, is accurate, yet at the same time, I'm like, yeah, they did just get the snot beat out of them by the Vikings a couple weeks ago. Yeah. So I know the Vikings don't come with the same fanfare, but that's a damn good team.
Yep.
And CJ basically said, I ain't scared of nobody.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the answer.
But he wanted to be careful with it. He caught himself. He was basically, it sounded like he was about to say something like, it's not like the Bills are this unbeatable force or anything, but he caught himself.
That's what I choose to believe he was thinking, yeah. So that was CJ, just in general, talking about the Bills. So let's get into, I've got some keys here, some key storylines, some fun stuff for the game. This is the six-pack here. Let's start with number one. The big one is, he mentioned Josh Allen. Josh Allen, and I think the big thing with Josh Allen is keeping him in the pocket.
Yeah.
Unlike CJ, where he does all his damage from the pocket. Like CJ, you want to force him out of the pocket. Josh Allen gets most dangerous when he starts getting on the move, when he's using his legs.
And it almost looks like this year he's not taking as many hits. He's being pretty smart about spreading the ball around. But, yes, he has the ability to just pull the ball down and go at any given time. So this is something that the Texans are getting accustomed to. They've had this with a lot of guys. Worked out well with the QB draw last week on the goal line stand.
Yeah, perfect.
Especially because both D'Amico and Al Shire basically called
it.
They
knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So kudos to the defensive tackles for aligning properly, expecting QB draw. But yeah, Josh Allen's a different beast, and he's spreading the ball around a lot better this year than he ever has. They are very much one of those teams, though, that they spread the ball horizontally, but they haven't really been able to hit the deep ball yet.
Mm-hmm.
And it partly maybe because they don't have the deep threats. I don't know. Maybe like a Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
And that's the big test for the Texans this week defensively is, hey, some of these glitches over the first few games where, frankly, you got really lucky you got lucky in the Indy game and you got lucky last week after guys got deep behind your coverage. Mm-hmm. You just don't turn into that team and be the team that springs the Bills offense.
That's right. Here's D'Amico Ryan's his thoughts on Josh Allen ahead of the game.
Last week, like the play to get them back into the game was him scrambling, and he launches one over the defense's head, and they're back in it, and they have a chance. So he always has that explosive ability to him. And then Josh is a really big player, 6'5", big, tough runner. So when they do have the quarterback design runs, whether it's sneak or the zone read plays, like he's able to fall forward for yards because he's such a physical player. So really tough matchup, really respect, you know, what he's done in this league, how he's grown as a quarterback and how he's, you know, led that team and kept them, you know, as a successful team every time they step on the
play.
Field.
The play D'Amico's talking about there, where Josh Allen kind of kept them in the game against the Ravens, he didn't do it justice. And not that that's D'Amico's
what the hell,
job.
D'Amico? You can't be making these errors.
Yeah, not that that's D'Amico's job, but if you go watch that play, it looks like Josh Allen's about to run out of bounds.
It looks like looks like a receiver who's catching a ball out of bounds, except he's throwing it.
Except
he's just
throwing
it towards the sideline. And then throws it off of one leg his body to a wide open receiver
in the bucket to Shakir. And
that's
Shakir. It's just he is a remarkable specimen. Josh Allen.
Yeah, I think Josh Allen, is he hateable enough? I think this is the thing I worry about when facing Josh Allen. I feel like he still has kind of a boyish demeanor about him, and he hasn't gotten, because he's thought of as the underdog in some respects to Pat Mahomes and even Joe Burrow, even though I'd much rather have Josh Allen as my quarterback than Joe Burrow.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like people don't quite, I feel like it might be hard to dredge up the lust for violence against him.
Yeah, I don't hate Josh Allen.
We gotta fix that.
We got 48 hours. We'll be okay.
Sean, we've got 3.5 hours before the end of the show. I gotta hate him.
Okay. Well, I think
somebody text in reasons to hate Josh Allen.
You're in physical condition right now, optimized to hate somebody like
I know,
Josh
yeah,
Allen.
For one of our poor listeners, I apologize to him. He was just trying to help me out with some advice. And I'm like, I don't need your advice. You know how it is when people are giving you health advice and you're just sometimes you're not in the mood for it.
Sure.
Thank you for help. Thank you for trying to help. Thank you.
All right, number two, protect C.J. Stroud.
That'd be awesome.
This team can rush the passer. Now, no Von Miller, and I know Von Miller's sort of a part-timer now, but he's done some good things this year. Von Miller is suspended for the next four games, so you don't have to worry about Von Miller. But Greg Rousseau and A.J. Epinesa are very solid edge rushers, and the big one is Ed Oliver has turned into a really, really good football player.
Yeah, Ed Oliver's
9.5 sacks last year from the interior.
And the interior, and, you know,
tell me about the interior of the O-line.
Jack Mason started to come along. I think Juice Scruggs is coming along. I think Kenyon Green is got some work to do, you know? And there's times where it's still games where between him and Laramie, maybe Laramie could have a better relationship with him. But it's mostly that Kenyon's still playing like a young player a lot. I would say, though, I mean, when it comes to run blocking across the board, all five of them, and that's intertwined with protecting D'Amico Ryans if you want to run play action.
C.J. Stroud, yeah.
That, too.
Yeah.
But mostly D'Amico.
I would love to protect D'Amico.
Right, hold on. We got to be careful about this in my condition to be sure.
Yeah.
Let me say that I'm going to be extra positive. You got to be careful they protect C.J. Stroud.
Good job, Seth.
Okay, I said the right name.
Yep. You're good.
I gotta go check my ribs during the break. I think feel stuff shifting and moving.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, you might want to lift up your shirt and just take a look.
I don't want to do that to you guys.
I can't do that to the people at home.
Don't do it on YouTube
or anything.
Yeah.
Go to the bathroom and do
it. No, I'm gonna go to the bathroom. Yeah. I'm not gonna go get it checked out by paramedics.
Yeah. All right, number three. Run the football. You said this earlier. They gotta run the football. Now, with who, I don't know yet. Because Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce are both still missing at practice.
Oh, man. Maybe this is just all a big put on, and Joe Mixon is in the bubble working out to Rocky music. And
He practiced last Friday.
I know. So. He practiced last Friday, and that was apparently enough of a setback that we didn't see him Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah.
So if he doesn't practice this week, that's an actual setback.
If he practices
on Friday this week, we won't know what to make of it because he practiced last Friday.
Even Steven, yeah.
Somebody asked yesterday, they said, hey, Seth, how can his ankle be this bad when he actually came back into the game in the game in which he injured it?
Adrenaline.
It is. It's one of those things in the swelling. With ankle sprains especially, it's the swelling that might take a little while to really, especially when you first injure it, they tape it up real tight.
Yeah.
It's like wearing, wearing three braces on it. So all that swelling gets into these tiny compartments in your ankle and there's no place for it to go. And that's why if it is a high ankle sprain, that's why they're so frustrating, and it shuts your nerves down. Yeah. It's not a matter of like fighting through pain. Your ankle just doesn't work the right way.
Yeah, well, it's not like he came back in the game and ran for 90 yards in the second half.
Yeah, he looked tentative.
Came back in for like a series and then he was done.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It looked like he was testing it out.
What's your confidence level in their ability to run the football this weekend?
Okay, the Bills, this is their weakness as a defense. We saw that with Derrick Henry.
Even if Derrick Henry had
a mere 100 yards rushing last week, the Bills still wouldn't be a good rush defense on the sum total for the season. And that's partly by design. They're a bend but don't break defense, and I think they do a good job of it. They're very, very good at limiting explosives. So like I said, they do everything that other teams have been trying to do defensively. That's what the Bills do as a norm. The opportunity is if you can run the ball. And Bobby Slowick said that yesterday. Like, you've got to be able to run the ball versus teams like this. It's old school football. It is. It's more of like what it used to be. Where, hey, your running back matters. Your offensive line better be able to run the ball. And it's nice to have a receiver like Nico Collins that is kind of zone-proof.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you got now have Tank Dell's out there and everything.
Tank practice yesterday. We'll get into the injury report in headlines in the next segment. All right, number four, the Diggs drama. Do the Texans, you mentioned this before, like sometimes it's fun when you have a teammate that's going against his old team to watch him go off against his old team.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think that on the scale of players that it's fun to be on the same side of when they're going off against their old team, Stephon Diggs is pretty high up on that scale. They have done a good job, Diggs, the Bills, of really downplaying this thing all week.
The bad job by this sports radio host.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. A good job if they're trying to just keep it on the down low. A bad job for content. You're absolutely right about that. Here was D'Amico Ryans yesterday. He's had experience with this. Going against his old team. He did it with the Eagles against the Texans back in the day.
I think it's always, for that player, it's always in the back of your mind where it's a big deal when you play your former team, because it's a little added weight where you really want to beat your team. But you know, it doesn't change our preparation and how we go about our business on a week-to-week basis. It's a matter of guys just going out, and we have to play together. We have to play as a team. We have to play clean football versus Buffalo for us to have a chance to win this game.
Yeah, so do you think CJ has it in him to make sure that Diggs gets some shine on Sunday? You think this is a thing?
Or I don't know. It's not like they haven't been targeting Stephon Diggs. He's got 33 targets through four games.
Yeah.
So I think that they've got packages for everybody, and they probably would like to get him involved early, just if only to keep his mind from pressing too hard or pushing too hard.
He likes getting involved early.
You know, D'Amico acknowledges that there is something to that, to going and facing your old team, no matter who you are, whether you're Stephon Diggs or anybody else. I think with Diggs or any other receiver, like if they have that, yeah, it's nice to get him the ball. You're certainly not going to make that your primary objective in the game, but you can also recognize that, okay, that's something where guys are, they got a little extra fuel. Mm-hmm. You know, they show, oh, I watched this this NFL films thing this week where it was Terry Bradshaw talking about how Franco Harris had his back.
That popped up on my timeline.
So there was a play where Hollywood Henderson from the Cowboys had slammed down Terry Bradshaw, and then he said that Franco Harris never does that. This, he came up to him, and because Franco Harris had words with Henderson afterwards, the linebacker. So Franco Harris comes up to Terry Bradshaw and says, "Give me the ball next play. Give me the ball next play." And then the cool thing about Franco Harris, though, I'm sorry, Oilers fans, but I thought, okay, boy, he's gonna try to truck Hollywood Henderson. And, you know, like, and nope, he just hit the hole so hard that nobody could touch him, and he ran for a touchdown.
Yeah.
Like, you take moments like that where a guy's fueled by adrenaline and it's a good player. Yeah, it's the right thing to do.
That's the sweetest revenge.
So with Diggs, it's a matter of, look, you're not going to try to alter everything just to make that your goal, but there is there's something about highly motivated players. I think the Vikings, former Texans, were highly motivated in that
no
game.
No doubt about
Jonathan
it.
Jonathan Grenard got three sacks.
Yes.
Freaking Kamu Grugier-Hill had the first big play of the game.
They need to do the same thing with Diggs, Buffalo, that the Texans did with Grenard. They insulted Grenard by putting Cade Stover on him.
Yeah.
They need to put an inside linebacker on Diggs in
That's
the slot.
What they should do. If the Bills know what they're doing, they should do that.
Right, right. Just as disrespect.
That's my little tidbit that nobody knows about Bills
disrespect.
Spies. Your backup middle linebacker there is actually really good against slots.
Let him cover Diggs. All right, number five of the six pack here, penalties. Please, just this is all I ask. Okay, I'm not even asking for a certain number of penalties. Less than 12 would be nice. I am asking that just make sure that the penalties aren't part of the storyline in the post-game show and on Monday when Payne and Pendergast started six. I just don't want to talk about
it. I don't want it. I'm so tired of talking about it.
I don't want to talk about penalties anymore.
I am even at the point where I have to fight off making excuses for Laremy Tunsil with those holds just because that was when his ankle was
banged
up. He had
a bum ankle,
But I can't also, in good conscience, look at the guy who's leading the NFL in penalties by a comfortable margin and make any excuse for him at all.
Yep.
So lots of guys are playing with turned ankles that don't get holds. Lots of guys are playing with the same center who don't get false starts. But yes, please, just let's not talk about it.
This is a request more than anything else. It's more so than a key to the game. Stop getting all these penalties. It's the most boring topic to talk about.
Stop wasting drives.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Torpedoing drives. People are texting in reasons to hate Josh Allen. He's got a patchy beard.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, I guess.
I never noticed.
I never really looked. He puts ketchup on his steak, supposedly, according to one texter.
Son of a... Are you kidding me?
Is this working for you?
This disgusts me.
Your health advisor says he's full of ketones. I hate it. LOL.
That was a Rob Johnson problem back then. Yeah. There was a dude who definitely didn't have enough body fat.
Yes.
He would have when he was in Jacksonville, before they traded him for the pick that became Fred Taylor, he would have a bagel with nothing on it for breakfast.
Oh, sounds delightful.
Then go out in the Jacksonville heat and play football, then come in and have some celery or something.
What could possibly go wrong?
He was way too into his body.
Yeah, big time. Was going through Buffalo Bills YouTube channels to see what they're saying, and Seth Payne pops up.
Oh, was it on that Mike Catalana interview?
Maybe.
Probably.
Maybe.
Were they tearing me apart? Tell me.
Text in.
What'd he say?
That's the whole text.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the whole text.
I need to know what people are saying about me. I'm desperately insecure.
That's it. All right, last one real quick. My prediction on the game, I think it's going to be a track meet. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game.
Yeah.
34-27 Buffalo. Until the Texans prove that they can't, until they prove to me that they can go out there and not get 12 penalties a game, they cannot be trusted. Now, I crossed the four games in of playing, at best, C-plus or B-minus football. I know they're 3-1, and I think it's awesome. But I've watched every snap of all these games. They've not played well. They've not played to their level that they're capable of so far.
I need it to all click.
I need to see it before I'm picking them.
Out of the gears
here. I need to see them do that before I'm picking them to beat a team like Buffalo.
That's why I'm going to revise my offensive prediction downwards as well. And this week, a relatively sedate Texans 42-3.
Okay.
You heard it here
first.
You're
going to be right one of these days.
That's the point.
And then you'll
be able to.
Yeah,
it's like Berman with the Bills. Berman rode the Bills to the Super Bowl prediction to a pretty successful career.
Chris Berman,
Chris Berman.
Yeah.
That's what I plan on doing.
Yeah.
Mm.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
I do. I think the biggest thing I'd really like to see in this game is something genuinely fearsome and menacing off the edge rushers.
I agree.
And I do wonder, if Will's ankle is bothering him a little bit, because he's rushing the passer in a way that he's getting pressures, but it's a lot like early last year when he talked about not finishing at the top of his rush and not getting that bend and everything.
Yeah.
A lot of that looks like it did last year, where he was getting close but no cigar.
Yep.
So I don't need a bunch of sacks, but I do need QB hits. Versus this quarterback that I am trying to learn how to hate.
Yeah, keep texting in reasons to hate. He makes lousy commercials, someone said. That is true. His commercials
suck. You know
what?
I've seen his local commercials, and in the Buffalo airport, I've seen his stand-up ads and everything. And I there's nothing about it. It's him and Steve Tasker standing next to each other.
All right. Well, that's, okay.
Privilege much, Josh?
Yeah there you
go. That's what I say.
All right,
I get indignant, and I'm like,
Let's get to headlines. Texans injury report, Thursday night football. It's all coming up.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's start with the Texans and the injury report from yesterday. Today will be a big day. Joe Mixon, Damian Pierce, and Derek Barnett all been out 2 days now. Derek Barnett's kind of flown under the radar this week because everybody's so focused on the running backs and Tank Dell. And Laremy Tunsil, who was upgraded, he was limited yesterday. Derek Barnett being out for a couple days. I'm not saying this is something that flips the spread on the game or anything like that, but he's a key depth piece at that defensive end position.
Yeah, and they like to rotate. I would say, too, you know, Barnett will take some snaps at defensive tackle, and depending on what they need, it is what we expected it to be. They might not have the ideal Eric Armstead type of defensive tackle, but they've got different body types for different situations, and they've been rotating those guys in. So Barnett is both an end, but also a defensive tackle in certain situations. It's somebody that would they need everything they can versus the run game this week.
Yeah. So that's
versus the quarterback himself.
Yep, that's something to keep an eye on. He's missed 2 days of practice. Tytus Howard showed up on the injury report yesterday, limited with a hamstring. So your two tackles, both limited right now, out of practice. Tank Dell and Jimmy Ward, both limited. That's actually good news because both missed games last week that they're practicing, and it sounds like both are expected to play.
Yeah, Tank Dell especially is let's get this thing back to looking. If we get Joe Mixon back at the same time, then you start to get a feel for, all right, this is what they can do, this is where they still need to work. More guys are going to get injured along the way. But really, again, I'll just keep hammering the run blocking by the offensive line. If you go back and watch all those Cam Akers runs, the 12 or 13 that he had last week, I mean, it was very, very rare where there wasn't at least one guy getting destroyed blocking on any of those given plays. And it wasn't one individual all the time. It was just across the board. Mm-hmm. It was just a hodgepodge of sloppiness.
Yep.
So it'd be awesome to see Tank Dell go off or Stephon Diggs go off or whatever, but I think the Bills are going to prevent that, and the opportunity is in running the ball.
Yep. And
Derrick Henry had 199 yards rushing against
him. So if the injury report right now is any indicator, it's going to be Cam Akers again this week. So far, Mixon and Pierce both still out. All right.
Mooney in motion with Cousins, and they're going to gun it, and it's caught to Darrell Hodge. 35, 30,
take it, baby.
20, 15, take it, 10, 5, back. Drive home safely. Oh, my goodness.
Welcome to the game, Kadarrell. Are you serious?
A walk-off for Kadarrell Hodge and the Falcons.
All right, so that was overtime last night. A walk-off for the Falcons. They get the ball to start overtime, and they go down and score. 36-30, the final score. The Falcons beat the Bucs in a very entertaining Thursday night game.
It was entertaining in a Thursday night type of way.
Yeah.
It felt more like there were big offensive plays that were mostly because the defenses were playing so poorly.
Yeah, they just didn't care.
It was tighter than it had to be because the Falcons kicker missed two field goals. Well, missed one and then had one blocked that looked like it was, you could tell, I don't know if I've ever seen this in the NFL before. You could tell that thing was going to get blocked before the ball was even in this. The operation was all screwed up.
So
Kirk Cousins tries to throw the game away at the end
through
of regulation.
An interception in the last 2 minutes, and the Bucks had the ball first and 10 with about a minute and a half to go, up three at the Atlanta 28. You're win probability at that point is
it was
in the
less
high
than 5%.
Yeah,
yeah, that was one of those. Yeah.
Had to be.
I've got the numbers.
Had to be. And then they go backwards. They lose 14 yards, and they've got to punt the ball back to Atlanta. And the Falcons go down. They get a field goal to tie the game. Goes to overtime. They get the ball. They win. And now Kirk Cousins is Mr. Clutch all of a sudden.
I don't know. That had a Texans-type feel to it, where afterwards I think Falcons fans... I saw a lot of Vikings fans saying, like, and this is the hex that is Kirk Cousins. Like, the voodoo that you can't make sense of, and sometimes it works out for you, and sometimes it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday was the second time this season the Falcons have won a game in which they had less than a 5% win probability at one point. They had no such wins between 2016 and 2023.
Wow, okay.
He threw for over 500 yards. Slamming Kirk Cousins right now. You throw that many, you're going to throw some interceptions.
And that was the whole thing, too. Like, they didn't even, throughout that game, the Falcons, who, you know, they made no inkling that they were trying to run the football. And they had Bijan Robinson.
Yeah.
They weren't even trying to run the football. He had, like, 40 pass attempts midway through the third quarter.
Bijan Robinson was too busy attempting to pass block Vita Vea. So,
yeah.
Which happens at times.
It happened. It didn't work out. So 36-30, Thursday Night Football, very entertaining game. I'll probably keep saying this after Thursday Night Football games until they make a change, but it's like Al Michaels just is...
The frustrating thing last night...
so inconvenienced to be there.
There was a really nice Tampa run where the dude broke like five tackles, and it wasn't until the fifth tackle or so broken that Al Michaels decided that this is something worth getting excited about. It's almost like he's a baseball announcer who's waiting to be sure it's a home run before he gives any emotion at all, except this is football, man.
Yeah. I had somebody, so I tweeted something to that effect last night. It was in like the fourth quarter going into overtime. Yeah. I'm like, it's affecting my enjoyment of the game. And I had a lot of replies, several of whom agreed with me that they need to make some changes. But a couple who are like, he's the GOAT. He deserves to be there. Oh, the announcers don't really affect my enjoyment of the game. I didn't think they really affected my enjoyment of the game that much until I started watching Al Michaels on Thursday Night Football.
It's like saying, hey, I like Jimmy Carter as a president. He should do it again right now.
Yeah.
No. That's not...
That's
just because
extreme.
People
yes.
were great in the past or whatever your opinion was. Yeah. So, very few people that are sticking to that.
Yeah.
I think the big thing... is that with Al Michaels, Herb Street's the wrong host for him. Like, if this is going to be Al Michaels kind of just wise, older gentleman, not going to get too excited, everything, I think he needs somebody who's a little bit loony next to him. I think he might actually, him and Romo might be fun. Because I think that Jim Nance just sounds kind of aggravated with Romo at times. I feel like Al would just flat out make fun of him. In a good way, like, would just kind of sarcastic, be like, well, that doesn't make any sense at all, Tony.
Yeah.
So,
Al does get agitated with the officials during the game.
Yeah.
It's like, he does, like, there's something in there.
Because he's got money on it. Yeah. So, I think, would be my theory.
Yeah.
I think part of it's that Herb Street's just not a natural born NFL announcer.
Yeah.
So, you're sticking an all time great play by play, but who's lost his fastball, and you're sticking him with a guy who's not playing his natural role. Mm. And it's too many obstacles and barriers.
Is this yet another role we need to call in McAfee as the break glass in case of emergency?
No.
Okay,
no. I've got the perfect amount of McAfee in my life.
Okay.
When I get a little too much McAfee, things go askew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But somebody like that, you're saying, maybe? Like somebody who's a little loco? A little crazy?
Yeah, or like just a lot of energy. Ross Tucker.
Oh, Ross would be fun.
Ross would bring some energy and fun to a Thursday night game.
Ross,
especially as Thursday Night Football, they should treat it. They should act like they're the Oakland A's back in the day when the Oakland A's came in the league and basically acted like a minor league team.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we got to have fun. We got to get people out here. We're gonna have these stupid drums and everything.
Yeah,
and it just created a different culture.
Yeah,
this is Thursday Night Football.
Right,
embrace the weird, man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can be the new Austin, mm-hmm. whatever Austin used to be. It can now be Thursday Night Football.
Well, they're trying that. They had, what's her name, Nikki Glaser on doing a post-game monologue a couple weeks ago, basically.
Yeah.
So they're embracing some of that, but for whatever reason, man, the broadcast just doesn't pop for me with Michaels and Herb Street. All right, those are your headlines. 7 o'clock hour is here. All right, so our friend James Palmer was in the locker room last Sunday.
Yeah.
Jags-Texans. He had an interesting report. He did a podcast with Steve Smith yesterday. And how do Texan fans feel about this report from the Texans locker room after the game on Sunday after a win against the Jags on Sunday? 7:20, we'll do the Circle of Swarm for this week as well. So stay tuned. You ready for the Circle of Swarm?
I've never been more ready, Sean.
I can tell.
I was passed out. I passed out three times last night.
That's how you, because you were so amped up for the circle of swarm.
Update for everybody. Yeah, I hit something hard on my ribs. Yeah, there's going to be a big bruise there. There's a big red mark right now, but I think
you look Samoan right now, like you got tattoos up across your torso. all right, so we'll hear from James Palmer in the report from the locker room. I'm curious what Texan fans think about this. We'll get to that coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in, service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.